Well, thanks for being with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. Ah, the joys of tasty tentacles. Well, that's I guess that's up to the beholder. But we got Rick Pruitt here, who has perfected his recipe for smoked octopus, one of the many local food products you'll be able to showcase at the Saturday's Food Festival and Farmers Market. Rick, thanks so much for coming in. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And we know a lot of people in Juneau, of course, know you through your TV work at KATH-TV, but you've gone on now to become an entrepreneur in this. And this is one of the things that you're an entrepreneur in is octopus. So how did you come upon
There's a bit of a backstory
to
that.
What is that?
Yeah, entrepreneur. I suppose, you know, after 2.5 years ago, we parted ways. With the my previous life, so to speak, in broadcast. And so now I'm running a couple of businesses on my own. One of them, of course, Pruitt's Products. And the premier product is the Alaskan Kraken smoked octopus.
Alaskan Kraken. I love it.
Alaskan Kraken.
Rolls off the tongue.
And it's a pretty popular product. I've had it on the store shelves now for about 3 years.
Okay.
And it's carried in 13, 14 different places around town. As a matter of fact, just today I picked up the Sea Alaska Heritage Store over there on Front Street.
All right, so picking up retailers all along. All right.
And brought a jar in today for you to sample, so you'll be able to get your mouth parts on some of it. There's a bit of a backstory to the octopus, actually.
Yeah, how did you get into octopus? How did that become something you got
when I was a child, I was about 13, 14 years old, and a good friend of mine lived right across the street, went on vacation, brought back a tuna can size or sardine can size of smoked octopus, and he thought he was gonna gross me out with this, but little did he know I'll eat just about anything. So I found it really delicious, and I always wanted to later in life recreate that flavor from my childhood. And I experimented with it, and for 30 years ago I started working with it and perfected the recipe. I won a blue ribbon for it in 2000 at the Haines Fair. Took it back in 2013, won the blue rosette. People had been telling me I should take it commercial for a number of years, and then finally decided to. I was able to lay my hands on enough octopus, 700 pounds for the original run of it, just to launch the product. And after 6 months of research and development and FDA and DEC approvals,
all that
and
stuff,
Form 2541D under 21 CFR Part 113, oh Lord. And I finally got it off the ground, and it's just a big hit. It's a
That's
proven
cool.
seller, and it's really popular around town with the locals as well.
Locals,
and
yeah,
not just
right.
the tourists, because I have a pretty pretty steady winter following of locals that say they love it and buy it all the time.
So you where do you get do you get commercially harvested octopus?
That's correct.
Okay, and is that local? Is it southeast or is it Alaska?
It comes from anywhere I can get it from.
Okay.
You know, I have trouble finding enough octopus on a local level.
Okay.
As it turns out, most of the fishermen, mainly the shrimpers, catch it, and they can only shrimp just a little bit of the year, and the rest of the year they're paying off their boat, so they're out long lining, and they don't want to sell me their bait.
Right, yeah, right. That's
so
right.
I have a little bit of an issue there, but I've been able to source in enough to keep the it going.
Is there different types of octopus that sort of taste differently and all that kind of thing?
And this all started out with giant Pacific octopus, but with the demand that I have and the supply being as limited as it is, I have actually had to reach out to the Western Pacific Rim. So there's a couple of species of octopus involved in this, and I buy octopus 1,500 pounds at a time by the pallet. So I buy a lot of it. So
more
it,
than just getting going, just more than just taking the skiff out and
yeah,
not going to work. So, well, tell me, without giving away, of course, your secrets, what's the general process that you go by to get to where you've got that really beautiful looking product in a jar?
Well, it takes a lot more than most people might think to put this in a jar. Take, for instance, smoked salmon. You fillet it, you run it through the smoker, you put it in a jar, and you run
brine
it through the retort.
Maybe you brine it
done.
First
you
or
brine
something.
It, right?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, with this, it takes a bit of a process. You have to boil it to begin with, and then I take a lot of the excess skin off because you don't really want that in the jar. You want the meat and the tentacles. And then we slice it all up, and then it goes through a secret process. There's one secret step that I won't reveal. Okay. No industrial espionage today. But after that, it then gets brined and smoked like a regular, you know, piece of fish, and then stuffed into a jar and run through the retort. And then I put labels on it, and out it goes to the consumer.
Is there a specific kind of wood that you use for smoking it?
The wood of choice up here, alder.
Oh, alder. Okay, so yep. That – and that does give it a very specific flavor right there.
It is a specific flavor profile that it was all developed around, and I wouldn't dream of using anything other than alder. Of course, it's the Northwest wood of choice for smoking.
Yeah. And what kind of smoker do you have? Do you have a big smoking unit somewhere?
No, as a matter of fact, my processing is done at Alaska Seafood Company. Dick Hand's outfit back behind the Lemon Creek Breeze and does my processing.
So he does that. He does that. He handles that part of it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. So and then – so you're saying you're doing these in about 1,500-pound batches at a time?
I buy 1,500 pounds at a time, but my batches is usually about 500 pounds.
Oh,
that's what we figured that we can really run in one day and get it done and out without having to be in there forever cutting octopus. So about 500 pounds at a time, which usually yields me – 25, 30 cases worth.
And then, how long does that last you? Does that last you?
It depends on, it depends on the market and how many people are buying. Chaku Smokery is one of my bigger movers along with Jerry's Meats. And they've been ordering like crazy because they keep buying them out. So it's moving pretty well.
That's great.
Really happy with the with the turnover on it.
What's the cost of a jar, generally speaking, the retail?
Well, most stores I find have it on the shelf, in the $20 range, $20 to $23. Of course, some of the gift shops down on the strip will keystone it. You know, they ask a little higher price because they have a little higher rent that they have to pay, and that's, you know, kind of a given thing here in town during the tourist season, so we understand that.
But a really nice special hors d'oeuvre kind of thing,
yes, it
right?
is.
Yeah, right.
It's a standout, that's for certain. And a lot of people buy it for the surprise value, for the shock factor.
Right.
And then they get it open and they get a piece on a toothpick and get it in their mouth. And then all of a sudden it's, wow, this is delicious.
Yeah, right.
So it becomes, you know.
Now we're on radio, so it's hard to see and all that. But how would you describe the flavor and the consistency? When you're eating a piece of octopus, how would you describe it?
Well, my daughter coined it best a couple of years ago. When she said that it had the mouth feel and the bite of a piece of country ham. Now, a lot of people think that, octopus is going to be chewy.
Right.
And I guarantee you it is not.
Huh.
It is just as tender as can be. It's like taking a bite of a piece of country ham. You have two or three chomps and down it goes. And the flavor is kind of subtle. It's not over-salted. It's not over-smoked. So it lets the flavor of the octopus shine through, really, and it creates just this delicious broth that goes with it that I like to pour it into Bloody Mary.
Now, why do we – I have had octopus before in sushi restaurants, things like that, that I would describe as chewy.
Sure.
Why is that? What's the difference?
The difference in this one, what really takes and puts the final tenderize on it is the fact that it goes through – the retort, you know, it spends an hour in a retort in the jar under pressure cooking. So that's what really gives
that
it
kind of tenderizes
the final tenderize on it. Yeah,
I see. I saw you got toothpicks out.
I brought
you have a jar in front of you.
I have a jar in front of
you. I mean, I think this is the shot I'm looking for here.
I'm
going to come over. I'm going to drag my microphone over this way.
Drag your mic over here. I'm going to crack this jar open. I'm going to hand a man a toothpick.
Oh, man, good. Oh, this is going to be good. All right. Here we go. I'm going to grab a seat next to you.
And I have made many a convert with this stuff.
All right.
Know? So I'm
going to... Oh, look at that. It is beautiful. Look, there's little tentacles. There's bigger chunks. Kind of the... Do you use... Is it just the legs that are used, or is there any other part?
No, I also use the hood.
Okay. How would you describe the hood? Is that the back part of the...
Right. The main bulb
of
the head.
Yeah, the bulb of the head. Okay. So just like with a crab, you kind of use the legs, but then you also use the white tender meat that's in the kind of body.
That's correct. And if you'd like, there's a Ritz cracker.
Now, is there a difference in consistency between the little tentacles and the bigger pieces?
Not really. I would, for your very first bite, I'd grab a tentacle.
A tentacle. Okay. I had a big piece on, but I'm going to go for tentacle now. Oh, that's a long tentacle.
There you go.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, he's a brave, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's delicious.
It is.
Mm. You know, it's a lot like, I mean, you know, we've all had smoked salmon, especially because of that alderwood smell, an alderwood smoke characteristic. It's got a lot of that character to it, you know, that a lot of that front character to it. But
it
like
does.
You say, the.
But not overly so. It's not an overpowering thing at all.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Wow. Good work.
Wow, now you see why it's so popular amongst the locals as well as the tourists.
Yeah,
I'm and I sell a lot of this stuff.
I'm walking back to my normal space here now. Okay. Well, while I still chew a little bit, but boy, is that good. And like you said, the only thing I would say, I think you're that's exactly right. A country ham, something like that, and just a nice, fairly dense kind of characteristic to it. And boy, just delicious. And also, like you said, subtle. It's not a taste that I would in any way say is fishy. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all.
Right. It's much more like a clam or something more like a shellfish, you know, kind of a taste to it. Yeah. If someone put that on a plate in front of you, especially the larger chunks, and didn't tell you what it was, people might almost say, oh, that might be smoked lobster or smoked crab or something like that.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. That was fantastic. Wow. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you enjoyed
now,
it.
Now, we've got this you're going to be part of the farmer's market happening. Do you have other stuff for sale at the farmer's market?
I do. I actually have a pretty diverse booth because I don't have just one business. I have two. Aside from my Pruitt's products, which I have a kind of a family of products, which include other taste treats that I brought in today for you to sample.
Okay.
I make chili oil and pepper oil, which are Asian condiments. Most often the pepper oil is a wok oil seasoning that is used for stir fries, and the chili oil is a condiment that it's served best on egg rolls.
Oh, okay.
Is where it really shines.
All right.
But I put it in fried rice and in hot and sour soup, and I stick it on sushi and all kinds of stuff. It's really good, and it's not an overly hot thing. It's not habanero hot. It won't burn you down, but it sure got some spice to it.
It's spice and kind of a warmth to it, right? That's when I've had that before.
And then I also make a rhubarb chutney, which is really good stuff. And a chutney, of course, is it's more of a sweet and sour kind of thing, you know, because it's made with vinegar. So a lot of people, they see it and they say, oh, jam. And they expect it to be sweet, but it's not. It's a sweet and sour thing.
I've had chutney that has a lime juice characteristic to it as well sometimes.
Sure.
Those kinds
and this
of
is
things,
vinegar and brown sugar and kind of base to it.
Yeah.
And I've actually, and it shines out as a topping for smoked salmon.
Oh, and you get.
Which, so I brought a little smoked salmon in as well as some of my rhubarb chutney.
All right. For any potential future guests to Juno Afternoon, this is how you do it, okay? You bring in the food.
And I also brought one of my other products is fire cider. Now, fire cider is it's a flavored vinegar, and it's aged with a lot of different ingredients. And mine has horseradish root and turmeric and ginger and onions and lemon and honey and chilies, peppers and garlic and herbs and spices and hot peppers and things in it. And it's really something. And it's a tonic just by itself that really kind of soothes your throat. Good for what ails you, but you can also cook with it. Put it in a vinaigrette, use it to flavor a Bloody Mary.
All right, well, let's taste some of this at least.
Okay.
Here. Let's.
Well, that's why I brought.
Okay. Well, I'm going to come back over. Here we go.
Okay, so I've got three other things for you to try today.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay. And then and I also do other things, the woodworking, but we'll get to that in just a moment.
Yeah, well, while you're unwrapping that, you do wood airplanes, right?
I do. I make Air Alaska wooden toy float plane kits. And they are pretty popular amongst the tourists. And this is my first year bringing them back. But they began life about 27 years ago.
Is this your smoked salmon?
That is my smoked salmon.
It looks, now, do you sell smoked salmon too?
I do not.
This is just
your my homemade
private
stuff.
Stash.
That's my private stash.
Smoked salmon.
But and the best thing to do is to take this rhubarb chutney and a little bit of spoon right there.
All right.
And just put a dollop of that on top of that piece of smoked salmon and give that a try.
All right. This kind of it kind of looks like almost like a chunky applesauce for people, or not applesauce, but like a But like, yeah. Mm, well.
Forgive him while he chews. He's going to be silent for a moment.
That's pretty good. That was a big chunk of salmon he gave me. That's fantastic. I love it.
It's they just go together
subtle,
so
isn't
well.
It? Isn't it? That chutney is not overpowering in any way.
But it really complements the cheese and smoked salmon.
It brightens up the flavor, yeah.
And the chutney is great on just cream cheese and a cracker. You can toss it in a vinaigrette and use it for salad greens. You can dollop on top of a pork chop and stick it under the broiler.
Now, in case I have any sort of, I've been eating some things, so I want to cool my digestion to go well. This is what you would recommend this next bit for here.
Yeah, actually, this is an aged digestion. This is my fire cider.
The fire cider.
And I call it dragon fire cider tonic. And there's a reason I call it dragon fire, because it's got a little bit of a spice
kick
to it.
Yeah.
It does.
It's got a really interesting aroma.
I'm not sure you want to knock it back like a shot of Jack, but take a good sip of it.
Well, okay. It's really good. It's vinegary.
Yes, it is. That's what it is. That's the base of it.
It's a vinegar. It's like a cider vinegar, but it's also got some heat on the back end, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That's pretty nice, though. I like it. Eyes are watering a little bit, but, it's good.
I keep some by my computer and knock back a couple of shots every day just to keep my sinuses open, and
keep
it's
keep
good
yourself
for
awake
your cholesterol.
At the computer.
A lot of healing properties to the turmeric and things like that, ingredients in it.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for all these great treats. It's awesome to try all this stuff. You've also got your chili sauce, which is great.
The chili oil. Yeah.
The chili oils. But it's all happening. Farmers Market is tomorrow from 10 to 2. You probably sell out. What do you sell out of first, the octopus?
No, I have lots of octopus.
Okay. All right. So you're not...
Usually it's the chili oil and the chutney that goes first.
Okay. All right. So get there early if you want to hit Rick's booth of Pruitt products. And he makes, of course, the Alaska Kraken, which is the Alaskan Kraken, what a great name that is. Get Kraken with Alaskan Kraken and also all the other stuff. And then you make those planes, and you're just keeping busy, man.
I am. I perpetually have three too many irons in the fire, but that's just kind of how I live my life, and I like it that way.
You kind of always been that way, as long as I've known you.
I got to keep
busy. You got a lot going on.
I got to keep busy.
Well, and so often it's just volunteer work, too. At least you're getting paid a little for this. That's good.
A little.
Good to see you get some money out of it.
It's just keeping me busy. I'm kind of semi-retired now.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Rick Pruitt, owner of Pruitt Products, you'll see him tomorrow at the Food Festival and Farmers Market from 10 to 2. Where is that?
Right at the Jack. Right across the street.
Right over at the Jack. So.
And I will have an outside tent. I'll be out in the parking lot.
Okay, very good. Rick, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you coming in.
You're welcome.
Sharing these great treats, especially that octopus was fantastic. The chutney was great. And I love
the fire cider.
The fire cider.
And I appreciate
cider tonic.
The opportunity. And thank you for having me on.
Good to see you. All right.